Well, we're going to continue with the second half of Ephesians, which talks about the practice in the church. Since we're saved and put into a church, he wants us to practice certain things. The first one is to get along with one another. And that's the first thing he wants us to do. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation, not vocation job, but the calling you have, wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Lowliness and meekness. Lowliness has to do with humility. Meekness has to do with submission to God. And then with long suffering, which means to long suffer with each other, forbearing one another in love, trying to make sure that we're all kept in unity. That's the first thing he wants us to do. And humility means I don't think of myself. I think of other people and their needs and what they need and not what I want and want to be, want to have the high position, want to be looking good, all that stuff. No, humility means that we forget about ourselves and we minister to other people. So the first thing he wants to do is to get along with one another. Second thing that we mentioned before, he wants us to grow in the Lord. He says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man or a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He wants us to mature, to grow, to learn of God and to mature as Christians, and to then we go out and do the ministry and we minister to people all over the world, as we said last time. But he wants us to grow in the Lord. Thirdly, he wants to encourage and support one another. He says, verse 16, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now I'm going to give you another translation of that. It says, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy, growing, and full of love. He wants us to be a place of encouragement and strength to one another because we're part of the body of Christ. We can make complaints and we can do those things that might need to be said, but we don't have to be ugly about things. We need to show compassion and concern for one another because we're like a body. You know, every part of my body works together. And when I get ready to pick these up, every part of the body works together. And so my fingers work, and so things happen so that I can pick up the things that I need to do. Well, all of it has to work together, because if it doesn't work together, then nothing's accomplished and nothing happens. So he wants each of us to do our part, to do what is necessary, so that I do what is my ministry, you do what your ministry. We encourage one another, we lift one another up, we help one another, we lift, act differently. And so the first thing he says is the source for living for Christ is different than the world. We don't live as the world does. And this verse he says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. The world in everything they think is vain, because they don't have the revelation of Scripture and they don't have God, and so therefore everything they come up with is not useful to living for the Lord. And so we're not to live out of the vanity of the world the way they think. We're to think the way the Scripture says. Then he says, they have their understanding darkened. They're alienated from the life of God. We mentioned that because when we're saved, God puts his life into us, and we're to live out of that life. They're alienated from the life of God. They don't have his life. And so therefore, we're not to live the way they live. We're to live out of the life of God. Notice the blindness of the heart. And then he says this, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Notice, being past feeling. Their minds are darkened. They don't have the Scripture. So therefore, they don't understand. Secondly, they don't have life in them. So they don't have God's life to understand God, to love God, to follow God, to enjoy God. And they're past feeling. They don't really care about standards or truth or anything. They just past feeling. They've given themselves over to lasciviousness, which is just immorality. What do you think is going on in the world today? There's some people in America that are absolutely going crazy. They're going crazy. They're not saved. They're not Christians. They just lost their mind. And we're not to live as the world lives. We're to live differently because we have life. And we have God's grace in us. And we have a mind to reason his word and know the things of God. And so therefore, the source from which we live is different. Then he says, we're a new person, makes us live differently. He says that you put off concerning the former conversation or lifestyle, the old man, which is the old person that used to be before Christ, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. What he says is this, we're a brand new person. We put off the old person, and we put on a new person. And therefore, because we're in Christ, we're to renew our minds to what it means to be in Christ. The Father has chosen us and made his acceptance. The Son has paid the price for our sin. The Holy Spirit lives in us. And so we're to put off the old person, and we're to put on this new person. We're brand new people. We live in a world, but we're not of that world because we're saved. We're part of God's kingdom. And so he says, the new person makes us differently. And then he lists some practical ways to live differently than the unsaved. The first thing he says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we're members one of another. First, I think he means the truth of Scripture. But it also means to put away lying, to be honest, to be straightforward with one another. That don't mean we have to be mean or ugly about things, but sometimes, you know, it's not lying. Second thing he says, be you angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Be you angry is a command, but it's not a word that we think of angry. It is the word for righteous anger. And God says that it's all right to be angry at sin, at wickedness, and you don't sin not. If you're not upset by sinfulness, if you're not upset and angry at the way people are living and what they're doing, then something's wrong with you. But on the other hand, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And the word wrath means to become bitter. So let's say I have righteous anger. And I am angry at some wickedness that goes on. I'm to not let that linger, though. I'm to leave that with God. And then I'm to pray and not allow that even righteous anger to then fester in the heart to make me angry at the world. I'm to love the world. Now, the other thing is the word wrath don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. The word wrath here means to hold it inside, to let it smolder and become more bitter. And so, you know the old practice, don't go to bed mad. Well, it has to be let go. Otherwise, he says, neither give place to the devil. Then once anger becomes a part of it, the devil gets involved in that. So we're to let it go. There's all right to be angry, and I'm not so sure we're ever righteously angry. I'm not sure there's still not sinfulness in it. But whatever, even if we are, we're not to let it go down overnight and turn into something different. Anger is not to be a part of the life. He then says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. I don't know if you saw. It's hilarious. If you saw when the hurricane came through in South Carolina, a lot of people took advantage of it, went in the stores and started stealing. It's sad, but it's just comical. Well, he said, we don't do that. We work. We do work, and we take care of things. We do our job. It's good to work. And then he says, so that we may have to give that need us. So if we have an opportunity to give to someone, to give to the church, to give to people, then work is good. So he says, your life is not to be out there stealing, but to work. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Only that which is good. This is a hard verse to practice. Only that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Our speech is to be seasoned with grace and with kindness and edifying and building up and strengthening. It's not to be negative and critical and complaining. It's to be ministering grace to people. I don't know about you, but you know, every once in a while I need grace. Life don't grow like it should sometimes. Life doesn't do well like it should sometimes. I bet all of y'all have time. And sometimes you just need grace. Hey, it's okay. I told you one time, I still remember that to this day. When I was in seminary my very first year, I told you about the girl who couldn't understand me because I spoke Southern. And I don't understand a word you said. Oh, what are you doing? Well, I'm reading your lips. Okay. And then she noticed one time that when we'd sit at the table, I would get quiet when she came. She said, I noticed that. Well, you don't understand me. But anyway, that kind of struggled a little bit. Well, I remember going to church, and this man in the Sunday school class, after the church, came up to me and put his arm around me and said, Tim, you got a good voice. It really sounds good. I like to hear you speak and read in class. You know what that did to me? That ministered grace. The other person didn't minister grace, though we became good friends. But it didn't minister grace. I bet you need sometimes grace, an encouraging word, a strengthening hand. You are to do all that. Now, of course, I do too. But you are to do that. You know, even children need an encouraging word and need an encouraging statement. You're doing good. Everything's, you're working hard. You're striving to do your best. They need encouragement. They need a word. And we come to church, and maybe you and I ought to memorize this verse. How can I edify someone today and encourage them in the Lord? He says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. And I think that is connected to the speech. Grieving means to hurt. And though we are sealed and we are saved until eternity, our words can create for the spirit grief and hurt. Oh, I can't believe it. They said that. I can't believe that. So don't grieve the Holy Spirit. He said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be you kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Those words, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor is, you know, when someone's making noise, there's clamor. The clamor of the words and evil speaking means to tear people down with malice. Malice means I intend to hurt you. Not lack of malice means, you know, just my dumb mouth that spoke. And be you kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, that all sounds good, doesn't it? Hey, man, I got it, no problem. When you want me to do all this? I got it. No. Not easy. That's why we got saved. It's a process. But what he does is he tries to let us know, don't live like the unsaved do. Live differently. And here's some specific things you can do. Don't let these things create confusion. Growing up, I can name church after church after church that split, got mad. Some group stormed off, another group stormed off. And isn't that sad? My first church, I don't know what it was, but it was something about the road in the back. I don't know exactly what it was. They opened the road and then the farmer wanted it closed for his crop. I never could figure that out, what it was. But they had such a big fight over it, they split. And I said, what is that church down the road? Oh, that group left us. Oh, could we get together? Oh, no, we don't get together with them. Oh, you don't? No, we don't get together with them. We don't have nothing to do with them. That's them. They do their thing. That's the end of the story. Isn't that sad? Because God's put us into the church. He doesn't want us to live in a way that's unchristlike within it. Then I close with this. Then he gives a blunt challenge in living. He says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as become as saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. He's talking about anyone has sinned and blown it. He's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the lifestyle of immorality. And he's talking about, we've mentioned before, he's talking about the mouth that loves to talk about those things. Filthiness, foolish talking, jesting. He's not talking about don't joke and cut up and carry on. But he's talking about off-color things, things that are sexual innuendo. Those things are part of the world. That's not part of Christ. And he's very blunt about it. And this is what he says. He then says, for this you know, that no immoral, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Are all sins the same? Well, not according to God. There are certain sins that reflect the unsavedness, and he lists them here. Immoral and wickedness and those things of that nature. Now, he does it. He's talking about the lifestyle. And he says, anyone that says, hey, man, I know Jesus, and I'm doing all these other things, said, let no man deceive you with his vain words. He doesn't. That's what the wrath of God comes down upon. Now, a covetous man, what is covetousness? I know some covetous people. No, no, no. You know what covetousness is? It's greediness. But it's not challenging the making of money. Some people like to make money. That's fine. Notice what he says, covetousness, who is an idolater. Idolater. It means that a person is so consumed with the greed of money and things and possessions that that becomes their God, and they push God out of their lives and want nothing to do with him because they're so busy with the things and the possessions and the money. Now, of course, the Bible says we're not to be greedy and money's not to be our God, but he's putting this in the context of the unsaved. And he's not just saying covetousness, he said covetousness, who is an idolater. Is an idolater. Now, if you listen to the world, if we offered free lottery ticket in our church and put an ad in, free lottery ticket, and we guarantee you one out of two will win $1 million. You think we'd get a bigger crowd on Sunday? You know we would. If we said, come to our church, and we expect you to serve and sit and listen to 30 minutes of Bible preaching, which one's going to get more? He said, we're to be different. We're to be part of a church, which is, you know, we're human beings. We're fallen. We're fallen. We're still living this body. But the Lord Jesus Christ is head of the church. This is his body. We have to work together, get along with one another. Part of that's humility. Part of that's patience. Part of that's forbearance. And then we don't want to act like we're unsaved. Doesn't mean we're going to be perfect and we're never going to do anything wrong, but it's not the pattern of our lives. He says, because you're brand new people, I want you to act that way. And we won't always do it, you know, because we're still in this fallen body, but he wants us to strive to be different. Now, I don't know what you think, but I kind of think in our church that if anybody had a need, I pretty well think anybody could ask, and I believe everybody would break their neck to try to provide for it. Now, you may not say, I'll just like everybody in church. That's okay. We're all different people. But we're to love one another and appreciate one another. And we're to care for one another. And if a person has a need, if a person just needs an encouraging word, I guarantee you there'll be people in our church that will give it. Because we're to be a loving, kind fellowship. We'll never arrive. You know, we're going to be falling short here. But that's what he wants us to be. And he wants us not to live like the knotheads out there. We're to love them and minister to them, but we're not to act like them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your precious word. And we ask you to just encourage us. Do not let us feel beat down or torn up or, oh, woe is me. All of us fall short, Lord. I fall short. But you've given us your word, and we've instructed in it, and you want us to strive to be what we should be, and only that can be done in the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit. So encourage each of us, Lord, to serve you and to live different lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.